Hello, everyone. Welcome to the post show here for episode 81, right? Of Court of Swords. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Episode.
That's right. You got it.
Yeah. We're getting into the time of night where I start to forget episode numbers.
It's grooving out to your music right now.
Oh, yeah. You can hear that.
Where's the music coming from? Where is it being played is what I want to know. I still don't have an answer to that.
It's being played on another computer.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, magic.
I don't.
Well, what causes it? And what track is it? I have so many questions.
Well, I mean, it's a different. It's whatever's playing on that computer. Like the audio feed from that PC somehow feeds into this mic, and I don't.
You always talk about it as if this is like, I don't know where the music's coming from. Who's playing it? I don't know. And I'm just like, how do you not know?
I understand where it's coming from. I don't understand how it bleeds into this mic because this mic, right. Or sorry, this feed, line, right. This feed is only supposed to be the mic. So there must be like a bleed through somewhere on the board internally that's weird, occurring because it's a fucked up board or something. I don't know. I've gotten pretty good about muting it in the past, but I didn't realize it was still playing there. So
yeah.
Anyways. Where to begin? I guess we can start with Max and kind of his whole thing this episode. Glad to have you back. How'd you feel about everything that happened that you missed last week? Do you know what happened
now?
Tell me what you envision occurred last week.
I don't really know, honestly. I don't really know. You guys are chilling with an immortal now, it seems like. But that was only really revealed for sure this episode is what it... Before it was just someone called Nameless, right? Barang have fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Like, the city pretty much is in ruin now, like, for sure.
Yep.
Were you guys directly, related to that? Or
did you do that?
Not really.
Like, did you guys accelerate it?
We don't
purposely
know.
Like didn't pay attention a whole lot because again, like Berg wouldn't know everything that you guys are, doing.
No, I think we both, like both of us, like our party and you, spent time in a place where it's kind of wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Yeah.
I don't know how that resolved for you guys. I don't know how you guys went from being like this whatever thing in heaven's plaything, like now. Was it like what you guys did in that weird, you know, timey-wimey place with that guy? Did that have like repercussions in the real physical realm?
Maybe. We don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I'm so confused on what happened there. Where it left off.
Last episode, there was some major like plot bombs dropped. So
yeah, that's what people were saying.
If you're
just go back and watch.
Yeah, yeah. Specifically, the first half was just D&D in its purest, most distilled form.
Oh, God. Yeah. The first half was just disgusting Dungeons & Dragons bullshit. Yeah.
The second half was very lore focused. So if you're wanting to get caught up on that stuff, or you would just want it to be revealed whenever it's revealed in play, that's also cool too. I think Berg would have a better reaction then, but that's up to you. But yeah, you spent some time in heaven this episode. How was that?
Heaven's a weird place, especially for Berg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very out of place and just like, I imagined and envisioned Berg, like he was trying to focus on the mission and he was pretty focused on it. But when it came to me making that decision for whether or not I'm going to try to attack him or I'm going to take this deal.
Right.
The initial plan was just to go in and straight up rage and just start attacking him. Just do it.
Yeah.
Then I thought it'd be more interesting. One, it gave me more time to think. And two, it made sense for Berg to like all of a sudden, like as he's presented with this, maybe the words of little brother and, you know, start to actually, you know, sink into him about like what? Like, oh, wait a minute. So he caused the bad stuff to like, he's like fully like now hearing that. Whereas before it was just kind of like, no, but it's good. It's good. I helped you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was trying to play Berg. And as that unfolded, obviously it came to a head of like, okay, well, what's your choice? Then I was like, all right, it'd be kind of cool to use his coin to flip it and see what happens. And then I don't have to worry about it. And we'll just see what fate does and what Adam does with that. It'll be an interesting thing, whatever happens.
Was that your attempt to flip
then that back happened, on Adam? And Adam was like, nope, make the choice.
Yeah. I feel like you're trying to flip the choice back on Adam, and Adam was like, nah, dude, I can fucking say whatever.
Yep.
Well, and it's about, it's again that the theme that continues to rotate through the game of like choice versus like heaven's desire for you. The entire karmic system is about doing what heaven wants you to do and not doing what you think is right. And then luck and its way of playing into that. It's all very much like intentional and part of the jam. So yeah, it was cool to be able to engage with that a little.
Yeah.
And then eventually when it came to me, like choosing, that seemed like the most Berg option was to at least try to take him out. Yeah. If nothing else, to test Berg's might and see, you know, like he's had success killing gods and other things before. The alternative is essentially kind of becoming his slave, you know, and serving him. It's like, you have good luck now, but you are beholden to me. And that didn't sit right with Berg. So that was kind of the ultimate determining factor for Berg to just be like, all right, let's try this. What I want to know is, okay, so what are you going to divulge? What could have happened with the roles?
I gave you three chances to crit. And if you'd gotten a 20 on one of them, then you just would have killed the dude. Just because he can't be the god of good luck if you're luckier than me, right? Like if you get that 20, exactly. It would just be like, well, cool. You just bust down all his power and smosh him one. And then it would have just been like the assassination. You went through with it and it worked. And then the follow through would have been, I'm not going to talk about what that would have been, but yeah, if you'd been able to get a 20,
that would have been so cool.
You kill him. Yeah, but I mean, it's luck, right?
Yeah.
I knew eventually if I tried to fight him, it was going to be exactly what you portrayed. Like, that's weird, you know? Like, he literally is the god of good luck because that's just, he doesn't have to worry about any of that because it's just easy for him to.
Yeah.
That was tries to shoot him with a bullet, it goes,
That was definitely a lot of fun, I think, for both me, Zeke, and Dan to watch. Just as players, for sure, because I think we all caught on to different things that were said and all had our own ways of potentially dealing with that. But the cool thing is that you're your own person. You dealt with it how you deal with it and how Berg would deal with it, which is cool. I'm happy that you get to make as many big decisions and I get to make not big decisions, because I wouldn't like that. you get a lot of big decisions.
I feel like all your big stuff, I'm the only one that gets to like see it. Like I just looked at the Slack message you sent me and I was like, what? Like there's all these little things going on with Yoji that I feel like they're just for me. They're just secret things I get to know, which is fun for me. But yeah, it's really interesting the different ways everybody plays the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really cool.
And I think everyone, like I derive fun from that. I think Max, playing Berg the way he does definitely is fun for him. So, I think also Kali just, Zeke just likes playing a character that just never has anything good happen to him ever. And I don't understand
it. The dice really made Kali Matt look like a jackass today. Like it's just sometimes D&D is like that where like, you're like, I am the greatest at doing this thing. And you're like, I'm going to do the thing. And then the dice are like, you're a total idiot. And you're like, oh, but I'm supposed to be good at this.
No, I just love that the first time I have to make a death save, it's a fucking crit fail and just two check.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was so stupid.
Well, it did give me the opportunity to show you the cool nameless guy power and his weird like connection with death. So that was cool. Thanks for failing those rolls for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Now I'm like, free life battery, eh? Well, let's go right into the heart of the Farang and just die and keep popping back up again.
Well, and so that's the thing, isn't it, right? Where I was like, I know what you want, and I want to give you the opportunity to pursue it, and it maybe seems impossible, except now you know that you might have this, like, secret power thing going on, so, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to like just go with everybody to the tower and maybe lose that power? Or are you going to try to convince them that you can, you know, pursue this other angle?
So. No, it's Kalimat the Fated. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun. Zeke, besides the death angle, well, I guess first off, before you knew that you were coming back, what went through your mind immediately? It was like, oh, I get to roll a new character? Like, fuck. Like, where were you at? Little both?
You know, the funny thing is, it's like a real death. Like, I mean, not in one manner, in that it didn't actually sink in yet. Like,
sure,
I didn't have an opinion of it yet because it was so fresh that I wasn't even thinking, like, of course, it's like fleeting moment, like, what would I roll up? But that it was like afterthought. That wasn't even like forefront in my mind. I was just like, well, goddamn. Like, what do I do now? Like, fuck. I don't know. And then that all, like, I popped back up again. I was like, well, and that, honestly, it wouldn't have mattered either way. I would have been upset. Like, popping back up kind of upset me because I was like, mm-hmm. I was ready to go to the land of the dragons, you know, in the afterlife. And I'm back. It's like, son of a bitch, just another opportunity, like more opportunities for Adam to fuck me again and again.
Fair. Yeah.
Oh, and then like the ultimate, like, Maude is a lie, bitch.
Yeah, I kind of feel that she got off to somewhere.
Sure. But like, why the hell would they like conscript this little girl? They must know like what she is.
Yeah,
or have an idea,
or I mean, my understanding of that scene at the end was that Maude might have grown up a little bit. Is the way that I perceive.
Yeah, I mean, she's still like a young. This is the thing about kids, right? Is that we wouldn't be able to tell at a glance, but it's definitely been some time.
Yeah,
and both, like, she's gotten older, and the fact that Berg's like a little older, and the fact that Berg's body hasn't like decomposed. That they've been like using magic to preserve it or whatever, that she's with this orc cult. And also like their like encampment was all destroyed. There's some shit going on there.
Yeah, for sure. Ramus, you spent a lot of the episode questioning the nameless man. I feel like you were prodding him for information more than anyone out of us.
Just like to Ramus, this is the other half of Hassan, and the more I learn about the other half of him, the more I learn about possibly just if I reverse everything I learn about this guy, I can figure out things about Hassan in verse. Like his powers, like his ability to affect
things.
It's
like it's like somebody talking in their sleep, right? Like you have access to him in a way that maybe he's not aware of.
Yeah, it's like this other side of him that's the opposite of him in every way. And I can get little pieces of details about it out of him, and it was a crapshoot that he was able to resurrect Kali. I wasn't even sure he could do that,
right?
But he did. I was like, okay, he's got more power than he lets on. He just became a very more interesting character on top of how he already was.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more than the other characters, Ramus is clued in on the fact that, like, you know, he is a foil of Hassan, 100% of the way. So there might be some like interesting knowledge in terms of things that might help us if there is an encounter between us and Hassan, or if the immortals pop up, etc. Like he's a interesting resource to have, and I think Ramus is clued in on that more than the other people.
Yeah, he's definitely a wild card that even Hassan probably hasn't even calculated in every part of his plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the question is whether like how much do I like the Xanatos gambit, right? Like how much do I want to use that thing where you go back and Hassan is just like, everything is going according to plan. Like I knew all along all this shit would happen. Like, you know, how much is that going to be the angle versus like, yeah, do you have, you have something you can kind of pull over his eyes, right? Do you have a trick you can pull on him? It's interesting. I think it'll be pretty cool to see when you show up to meet him.
Yeah, we'll see. Dan, any other points of interest for you throughout the episode?
Yes, there was a massive plot moment that I don't think anyone picked up on during the conversation with the god. He said the same phrase that Fulpa and the prisoner in the Oubliette said, the exact wording, there is no greater power than choice, which
he did.
I don't know what the connection is there, but there's some sort of connection. We
yeah.
This made me go, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see with that stuff. I definitely saw you picking it up. No one in the chat really picked up on that as well.
It was super subtle. Like you had to have been at all those episodes, and I was, but most people weren't. Like missed one.
I knew I heard it before. I couldn't pinpoint where, you know, like where that exact phrase had been uttered.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly innocuous phrase too, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, yeah. But
he said it all weird
connection. Yeah.
Like if Kalimat had been in the room for that conversation, then he would have like probably lost it, right? Because that's a thing. It's the last phrase you remember,
right?
Before you lost all your memories and all the bad shit happened, right? And like, yeah, Tulpa had said it before, and yeah. Good catch.
That's true. All right. Anything else you guys want to bring up from the episode? I think we're all just excited for the next one.
I know. No, I'm excited to see like what you have to say about that fucking dickbag that took the dagger. He said he would kill me next time. Like next time he saw me, he would kill me. What the fuck are you doing being friends with a guy like that?
I mean,
sometimes you gotta make friends with the tough guys.
Yeah. Look, I didn't. Sure. I didn't say anything to him in the devil's vault. There's no need to.
No, and I didn't twig on anything either.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think like you as a player, and also Kali as a character, are starting to be like, the fuck is going on with this guy? Like he does some weird shit, and I'm into that. Like I hope you push on that a little bit more. It's definitely fun. Because if you don't, I'll just keep sending Adam private messages and saying, hey, this means that. And yeah, anyways, I'll let you know what happens next week.
Yeah.
Because they're a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun doing that stuff.
You and Adam are having your own little private game that's happening.
Well, it's basically me being like, hey, Adam, this is going on. It's what me and Adam do. Yeah. This is kind of the quintessential.
This is a very common Adam and JP thing in role playing games. Where after a certain point, JP's like, "Here's the thing: no one else knows about my character." And I'm like, "Okay, that's yep. All right, I'll just work that in." So yeah, I expect it, and I am delighted by it every time it happens.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it all goes. Well, cool. We might reunite with Berg next week, or we might not. We'll see what happens. He's potentially out in the fucking desert somewhere, just hanging out. Would we have seen that starfall?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's where we'll begin our next session to be like, you're traveling through the waste, and it's like dark, and then you see this star fall to Earth. Yeah. Definitely.
Are we going to recognize Berg screaming?
No, but like, I mean, there's no, like the cosmology and the reality of the world of Court of Swords is that there's no space, there's no stars and like outer planets and all that shit. Like if something falls to Earth, it is falling from heaven, like literally. So it's a really significant event. Sometimes it's just heavenly garbage, but other times it's like, something serious and significant. So yeah, you would definitely be like interested, at very least.
So what you're saying is when it hits the ground, there's going to be a poof of smoke that spells out Berg, right? That's how we're going to be clued in?
Basically. Okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. He's going to rocket across the sky.
And fantastic.
In big letters.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll see how next episode goes then. We'll see you on Tuesday for more. Thanks everyone for your support as always here on Patreon. And we'll have some more news coming up. Scoots is coming over this weekend, this Friday, and leaves Sunday. So we can start chopping away on our next live show and to kind of getting that stuff back into the swing of stuff. So when I know more, I'll let the patrons know more, and also look forward to a video probably this weekend with me and Scoots kind of talking about the room and how we're going to set all that stuff up. So that's that. And we'll be back with another episode next week. So we'll see you then. Mm-hmm. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Everybody.